Yes, it might well be you're sick of sitting around here. You might be sitting in a car park scenario. You might be in a traffic jam. You might actually be having all kinds of problems with respect to congestion. Yes, the C word that has regularly emerged as one of the challenges that we've actually got here. And if we're looking at impacts of congestion, who better to actually talk to than the Chief Scientist for Transportation at TRL, the Transport Research Laboratory, and indeed the President of Bosch UK, Global Centre of Innovation for a whole variety of other factors as well. We're talking, of course, about, first of all, the legendary Alan Stevens. Good morning, Alan.
Morning, Alex.
And from, of course, Bosch, we've got Stefan Hoffman. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning, Alex.
Alan, let's come to you first to talk a little bit about this factor, because in some ways, it's, you know, there aren't any surprises, but in another sense, you just think, oh, Lord, we're just going to get gridlock in a few months' time, aren't we?
Well, I don't think we're going to get gridlock. It's really a question about how we manage the congestion, because in a way, congestion is an almost inevitable consequence of success. So it's the economic activity that generates the popularity of areas. The question is really how we manage it going forwards, and technology can do quite a lot to help out.
36 million vehicles were registered last year in terms of the roads. That's, you know, that's, I mean, is that offset by vehicles that effectively have gone into vintage classes and actually going to museums?
Well, it's not the number of vehicles per se, it's the amount they use. So we talk about vehicle miles travelled as being the main indicator. But yeah, that's going up, however you look at it. So we really have to think about how we manage the traffic better. And it's not only about cars. Cars are part of the mix. But we have to encourage people to cycle and walk more, to use public transport, to look at how they break up their journeys and travel at different times if they have that option.
I'm mindful of what almost became a cliche a few years ago when people were talking about transport issues, and the three-word phrase joined-up thinking tends to come to mind when people start talking about, again, blended travel and lines and park-to-ride, etc. We still seem to be an awfully long way from getting that right. I mean, I'm speaking as somebody who sort of travels regularly through Lincoln, through a variety there. Obviously, yes, I've experienced the London scenario, and I don't want to necessarily focus on London because I think that's a slightly different case study. Middlesbrough, Teesside, North East. You know, there are certain times where it's not so much a rush hour as a kind of a very slow-moving 2 or 3 hours.
Well, I'm not going to try and defend choices that are made, you know, by public authorities in the broad sense. But what I think we can do is point out how we can improve the situation. A lot of it is to do with really good traffic control, the policies as to what vehicles travel where and when, and technology generally, which gives people information to make more informed choices. So I think we're really looking to accentuate the positive elements as much as we can, and really look to the future when we might even have automated vehicles, for example, which could completely change the way we think about travel.
Stefan, let's come to your good self. Your thoughts in terms of that. I mean, is the driverless car ultimately going to be the one-size-fits-all almost solution?
Well, the autonomous driving is definitely going to be the ultimate solution to also congestion problems, because you can regulate traffic flows much better. But there are interim steps towards it. for example, if you think that up to one-third of urban traffic is caused by drivers looking for a parking spot, there are solutions for that, call it community-based parking, where a vehicle continuously, as it drives through a city, picks up available parking spots and shares that information with other cars in the area that are looking for parking, and those cars are then guided towards the available spots. You know, solutions like that will help us a great deal to ease congestion meanwhile.
I'm mindful of the whole notion that, you know, if you're not part of the problem, you're part of the solution, or part of the solution, you're part of the problem, to actually rework that. Stefan, I detect, obviously, a German element there. Is it once again a case of German efficiency is going to save Europe?
Well, if you look at the success of the British automotive industry in the last few years, I think not just Germany, it's. I think the automotive industry is definitely one of the most innovative ones. And I think the event that we have next week on Friday is gonna highlight that, and this goes far beyond Bosch and beyond Germany.
Well, I'm pleased you mentioned that, because it brings us neatly around to Somerset House, of course, and Transfer Motion. Alan, would you like to share with us what Transfer Motion at Somerset House is going to develop? Again, it was very tempting to use a three-word German phrase starting off with Vorsprung and ending in Technik, but I won't do that because it's too much of a brand thing. So let's go to Transfer Motion.
Well, yeah, it's really important that people experience these things, because often it's the first use of these things where after that you really do understand it. So what Transformation is doing is giving people the chance to experience a whole range of new transport options and technologies, as well as taking part in debates and hearing from experts as to what the future holds. So I think it's a free event. It's the sort of thing that we'll try and get people involved in the area, and perhaps also maybe encourage some people. You know, we hear about skill shortages all the time, but encourage people to study the STEM subjects and to believe that transport and transport engineering is a really bright future.
Now, interesting you should raise that in terms of the science, technology, engineering and media, because in the studio here we've got a wonderful soul called Richard Bellis, who's just completed a film studies first year. He's looking to transfer to broadcast journalism. Richard, you drive.
Yep.
So does this sort of event, Transformation, does it appeal to yourself? Are you, as a young driver, kind of just heartsick of the kind of things that both Alan and Stefan have been talking about?
Well, I understand something definitely needs to be done, but I don't see, like, where I drive in Middlesbrough, we have the Martin Crawl, which is notoriously bad. You know, it's just... It is like a crawl.
Again, without getting into specifics, I mean, I must admit, Alan, but there are people who almost have to have therapy after some of these journeys. Can transfer motion, and it's, of course, it's not transformation, it's transfer motion. Can this event at least set the ball rolling in saying that actually the future is bright and it will be okay?
Well, I hope what it's going to do is show people that there are options. You know, you don't have to have cars necessarily. You know, we can think about a much broader range of transport options. And, you know, in the long term, maybe even make lifestyle choices, which will mean that you don't have to sit so much time in traffic.
Does this also need to connect with architects of the future, and I mean, and futurists in general? I mean, are we thinking about how we deal with our living spaces? Because clearly one of the elements that kind of the 20th century developed was this notion of having suburbia, having people living outside towns, and obviously that adds to the commute. If you kind of change things around slightly and go back to a more urban-based environment, etc., then maybe, as you said, the use of cycling and such, that becomes much more feasible.
Yes, and in the future, maybe we're not going to be thinking about garages and parking spaces so much, because if we're talking about automated vehicles and shared mobility, the concept of personal ownership of vehicles will go away. And this could really transform the way we think about design into the future.
Stefan, I've always been impressed when I've been travelling in Germany in terms of the roads, that, again, the system seems to be so much better from that point of view. I mean, I don't want to say, where are we going? I was speaking to a German horse rider yesterday at the Burley Horse Trials, who was sort of saying he'd had sort of similar challenges. But is it something where, you know, collectively we could learn and really develop a better global transport infrastructure?
Well, you know, I think there are great examples all over the world where cities have managed to ease congestion via different ways, and it's of course always good to look at these good examples and learn from each other.
And back to Alan and talking about this event, again, folk might say Somerset House, London, typical, it's the base again. Is there a way in which people can use online facilities to actually find out more about the discussions on the event, the ways forward? I mean, in a sense, I suspect really this is just the first in a series of steps that needs to be taken to really start rethinking and rejigging the whole notion of using technology to make our commuter lives better.
Well, it's Stefan's event, so I'll invite him to...
Yeah, no, so you can go to our website, which is bosch.co.uk, and that gives you a direct link to the Transformation event, including information about the products that are going to be demonstrated there, and about the expert discussions that we're going to have.
It's going to be great. I mean, Alan, as chief scientist again at TRL, do you think the future is actually going to get better? I mean, or is it a case of sometimes you look at the figures and you look at the findings that your research shows you, and you just shake your head and think, I don't know what's going to happen?
No, I think overall I'm optimistic. I think technology is generally helping us in many ways. We don't always have to commute. You know, technology allows people to work from home and to work much more flexibly. So I think there's a whole range of possibilities in the future. And by mid-2020s into 2030, I think we're going to have a whole range of new approaches. We're going to have electric vehicles, hydrogen vehicles. We're going to have more automated driving. So I think we have a range of things that we can look forward to. It'll be change, and change is uncomfortable, but you know it's going to happen over a few years progressively. So overall, I'm optimistic. I think transport is still a vital part of our communities, and it brings people together and allows us to have all the economic activities and the benefits that those bring.
In which case, it's good news for Richard Bellis, because Richard, you're 19, 20?
Yep.
Exactly. So you can look forward to that. Does that kind of set you at ease?
It does a bit, yeah.
Gentlemen, you've actually sort of solved the next generation's problems, I think, almost at one fell swoop, which is marvellous. Two final questions for you, good souls. Alan Stevens and Stefan Hoffman, have you both had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today? Has it been okay for you?
Yeah, no, it was absolutely great to talk to you.
Well, likewise, and hopefully we can connect again in the not-too-distant future and keep us appraised of all the great stuff that obviously Bosch are doing and obviously your research, Alan. Will you be kind enough to return in the not-too-distant future?
Always ready.
Hooray!